my neighbors. Tune in to Out There to meet some of them. Out There airs every Wednesday from 4 to 5 in the afternoon with me, Ruthie Woodring. Come with me and my recorder to meet people and plants and think about ways we can share the world. That's Out There every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. here on Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP, 103.3 FM, Northampton. Archived editions of Out There are online at weatherbeard.com/RUTHY. Get out if you can. But if you can't get out, tune in. And that's today.
So you're going on this walk. You're leaving on Wednesday. You're going to like walk all the way to New York City. How come?
All the way to New York City.
How come?
That's a good question. I keep asking myself that. And actually, the last walking trip I went on, I kept asking myself that, too. Why am I doing this?
Okay. I'm having some trouble finding the buttons. But this is an interview with my housemate, Rebecca. She's going on a walk. She started today. It's her 31st birthday. And she's walking to New York City for the next couple weeks. So this is here she is continuing her story.
I think it's partly I've read a lot of walking narratives, or not necessarily just walking narratives, but stories about people who have done something more unusual than most young people do after they get out of college, or once they get out of college and realize that they don't want to do what most people do. And those stories really inspired me. I mean, right now in my life, I'm just traveling around, but I didn't think about actually walking anywhere. And then I came to live here in the Petal People House. And I think meeting people here and living in this community that's really supportive of doing something like this or going on a trip like this was really what made me realize, like, this is a possibility for me. So I think why is maybe that I'm just following what is inspiring me. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if there's another reason beyond that yet.
Cool. Well, I like that you mentioned that the Petal People House, whatever it's called, you know, we support people who want to walk too. It's not just all about biking. So your previous trip, have you taken long walks before?
Yeah. I decided that I wanted to try it out doing some smaller walking trips before I did like one big, long, intense trip. Mm-hmm. And I'm really glad that I did that. So I did an overnight 18-mile walk from Woolman Hill, which is a Quaker retreat center near Deerfield. And then I walked back here to Northampton. Mm-hmm. And then another trip I took was I walked from here in Northampton to Worcester. And then I took the train from Worcester into Boston. So that walk to Worcester took me 4 days.
Mm-hmm. What were hard nights? How is that walk like you expected or not like you anticipated?
It was really hard. It was physically hard. The walking was hard. My body got really tired and my pack felt so heavy. Mm-hmm. Starting about the second day. It was also really hard to be alone, especially at night, just sleeping in the woods. And like, I've noticed myself during the day that I would get really anxious about where I was going to sleep at night and started to become hyper aware of places that I could sleep along my walk and trying to look out for posted signs and stuff like that. So I think I spent a lot of my time just kind of worrying about where I was going to sleep and just putting one foot in front of the other and getting to where I was going to go. Mm-hmm. And I think I kind of expected it to be more relaxed. Uh-huh. But I think that's a good thing to know for this upcoming trip, that I can kind of pay more attention to that. Also, I didn't talk to many people on that trip, and the people that I did talk to, some of the conversations were really discouraging because they were trying to not convince me, but they pointed out how unsafe they thought this was, or they asked me all these questions like, why would you want to do something like this? And I felt like they thought I was some crazy person.
So. Yeah, it's like, you know, when we hear people doing things like this, we're like, well, how come you want to do that? But how many times do I get asked, how come you want to live in a house? How come you want to have a job?
Yeah, yeah.
How come or you want how that come kind of stability?
You want to be miserable and work, go to this job every day just so you can, like, have some, I don't know, I realized how much money drives our lives. Mm-hmm. And I did so many things that made me miserable, like worked so many jobs that made me miserable, all because I thought I needed this certain amount of money. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm trying this different way.
So what are your financial expenses? Like, how does this work? Yeah, how does this work for you financially?
Yeah, well, I'm luckily there's these websites like Couchsurfing and Warm Showers. So there are like places that I can stay, where people are opening their homes for travelers that are traveling not by car. Mm-hmm. And I have to buy food. But yeah, I'm not sure how to answer that, actually. I guess I've planned some things out and like have some money to get me through this trip, but yeah, I don't know.
How much money are you taking with you, or does it take money to do something like this?
It would be really great if, well, the Peace Pilgrim didn't take any money when she went on her walking life. She like dedicated her life to walking for peace, and she never took any money with her, and she just relied on people giving her what she needed. I guess that also brings up the question of like, what do I need, you know? And she felt like people would provide her what she needed, and that would be what she needed. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I'm not at that point of trusting in the universe yet. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that I have as strong of a sense of that this is my calling that she did.
I want to go back when you were talking about walking to Worcester and being anxious about where you're going to stay at night. How was it at night? Like, how did you feel? Were you scared, and how did you deal with it?
Yeah, I was scared. The first night, well, I have a meditation practice too. I meditate in the morning and in the evening, and I was hoping to meditate outside, but when I set up I have a hammock tent. There were so many mosquitoes that I had to meditate inside the hammock. So I was lying down meditating, and the meditation I do, you meditate with your eyes closed. So my eyes were closed. And when I first got to this site and like set everything up, I didn't feel scared. I felt really good and confident. And when I was lying down meditating, I started to become very aware of all the sounds. And it began to sound like something was walking around and walking towards me. Mm-hmm. And finally, I couldn't take it anymore, and I opened my eyes, and there was a dog, maybe like, I don't know, 20 yards away from me. Mm-hmm. And it started barking. Mm-hmm. And so I was so scared, and I was really worried that it was going to come up and start attacking me and eating me. And then someone called the dog's name and it ran away. But then I was nervous because I thought maybe there was someone walking their dog around the woods and they were going to come and find me and tell me that I couldn't sleep there and I was going to have to pack up all my stuff and then walk and find another place to sleep. But I could tell that there were houses nearby, so I kind of assumed that that person just let their dog run out in the woods. And then when they heard it barking, just called it back. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I continued meditating. And then later on, again, that same sound. And I opened my eyes and there was a dog again. And I couldn't tell if it was the same dog or a different dog. But it was sniffing around, again, the same distance away. This time it didn't bark. It just sniffed around and then ran away. Mm-hmm. So then I was still a little scared, but I fell asleep, around 8 o'clock, so it was just getting dark, and then I woke up again around 9:30 or 10, and again I heard this something walking around, and I thought maybe it was the dog, but I thought, oh, who would let their dog out in the middle of the night? Mm-hmm. And then I heard the scariest noise I have ever heard, and it's really hard to describe because it's unlike any nature sound I've heard before, but it was like a screeching, screaming, whooshing, like really odd, and I was terrified, and I just laid there and tried to let the fear just go through me, and I felt like every kind of thing I'd ever done in my life, like self-help kind of thing, didn't mm-hmm. matter. I was like, oh, all that stuff I did, it doesn't matter, because all I am is I'm here alone in the hammock dealing with this fear. Mm-hmm. And I just had to like lie there all night and feel terrified. It happened again at like 3 o'clock in the morning, I think. And I would hear the animal like walking around, and it sounded at some point like it was beating something against the tree. And there were maybe a couple of them in the area. They never came close to where I was sleeping, but they were walking around close enough that I could hear them. So that happened the first night. The second night, I found a spot next to a river that was really loud, so that provided a lot of white noise and pleasant things to listen to. Then the other night, I just camped in the woods, but it didn't seem so rural. It was in these woods behind some kind of like municipal buildings with a fence around it, and there were like roads around and houses maybe, but it just didn't feel as like possible for there to be some strange animal rocking around at night making weird sounds. But I think what I'm going to do on my trip to New York is wear earplugs. Because if something's happens, it's going to happen, and I want to be able to sleep at night.
Yeah.
But yeah, the fear, I'm afraid. Mm-hmm. I am afraid. Yeah. And I was when I was sleeping at night.
How many nights will you be on the road?
I'll be on the road for, 14 days, so 13 nights.
Okay.
On
the road, on the path or in the woods or wherever you are. So does it take a special kind of person to do this kind of journey?
Oh, no, I'm glad you asked that. I don't think it does at all, because when I first started thinking about doing this and the research that I did online really intimidated me, because I felt like a lot of the people that were backpackers and would write about backpacking stuff and write about gear and their trips, they were really into planning and making Excel spreadsheets, and they knew all this information about gear and backpacking and nature, science, and all kinds of things like that. And I felt really intimidated, and I felt like, oh, I can't do this. And I realized that I feel, I'm learning a lot as I'm going, and as I do more walking, I learn like what works for me and what doesn't. And I was reading this book by Robin Davidson too, who walked across the desert in Australia in the 70s. And she said the same thing, that in the media and stories people would write about her, they made her out to be this like extraordinary woman. And she really felt like, if I could do this, anyone can do it. And I feel that way too. And sometimes I wonder if, like, some of the choices I make are really, like, kind of dumb choices, but I've learned from them, and I feel like if I could inspire anything in anyone, it's that you can do it, and you just do it, and you learn from it, and that makes you more able to do it again, if you want to.
Well, good luck. I look forward to hearing some stories from the trip. Maybe you can record some for the radio show when you get back.
Yeah, thanks, Ruthie.
That was an interview with my housemate, Rebecca Landis. She started today on her 2-week walk to New York City. One of the things she mentioned in that interview was talking about this animal sound she heard. Later, she decided it was a fox, or there were foxes. So I'm trying to get some fox sounds. Let's see. That's a fox alarm bark. Here's some other sounds. This is the vixen scream. And that's geckering. That's what foxes do when they're fighting. Oh, and they're playing. So I think if I was Rebecca and I was trying to sleep at night and I heard those noises, I think I might be a little disturbed too. So I got off to a rocky start with this show today, but my old standby Dwayne has arrived. And it's Mike. I've forgotten to turn his mic on.
Well, thank you.
There you go. Thanks for coming, Dwayne.
My pleasure again.
And I hear you've got an announcement for us.
Just one of many.
Wait, or anything else you want to say?
Like what? It's beautiful out.
Yeah. Yeah, great.
The plants are growing. They're like just getting like huge.
Yeah.
And my begonia that I have that's been sitting in this little pot about 1 foot high.
All winter.
Put it outside. My do nothing plant has 2 blossoms.
Wow. Nice.
It's only a
job.
Foot tall too. So nice. I gave it some water today.
Nice job. So tell us about something coming up.
All right. July 25th. Bike fundraiser. Do you like to ride your bicycle? Want a new challenge and a way to support your local community? Ride the Grand Fundo, a one-day bike ride through scenic Pioneer Valley. Afterwards, enjoy a delicious pig roast, barbecue, watermelon, ice cream, live music, and more. The ride starts and ends at Black Birch Vineyard and Winery in Southampton on Saturday, July 25th. All proceeds go to young, aspiring cyclists who want to make something of their lives. So it's called Grand Fundo, and I don't see a phone number, but you can get it at go to jamcycling.org for more information. Not toe jam, but to jam.
All right, and while you're out there, biking or motorists driving, here's Rachel Maddow with a message.
I'm Rachel Maddow with the Pioneer Valley Planning Commission and the Franklin Regional Council of Governments for Valley Free Radio, reminding you that legally bicycles are vehicles and bicyclists have the same rights and responsibilities and should observe the same rules as motorists. For more information on bicycle rights and safety, go to www.massbike.org.
Follow your heart, love will find you. Unbind you, seek out a song of the soul and sing this song. Why don't you sing along?
Music touches places in the soul where words have no power. That's why we invite our guests to share the music that speaks of their spiritual path, journey, or beliefs for Song of the Soul. Often our guests are musicians, but sometimes they're simply folks with a deep connection to music, like you and me. Join me, Mark Helpsmeet, Wednesday at 2 p.m. for Song of the Soul. Hear some great music and travel with our guests on their spiritual journeys. The place to be is WXOJLP, 103.3 FM Valley Free Radio, Wednesday at 2 p.m. for Song of the Soul.
Let in the light, it will heal you, and you can feel you, and sing out a song of the soul.
Reggae Down is on Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m. Turn on your radio for great sounds from international reggae artists, roots, dancehall, DJ mixes, and rhythms. Get down with Reggae Down every Monday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Valley Free Radio.
So the next thing I'm going to play, I actually played last week. So I was in Kentucky recently, a couple weeks ago, and one of the things I did was I played some basketball in the park in Middlesbrough, Kentucky. Here we go.
I read an article in the local paper, the Middlesbrough Daily News, about a 3-on-3 basketball tournament that was going to be held on Saturday, June 13th, as a fundraiser for a local drug addiction recovery program. It was sponsored by a religious organization, Breaking Free, and is also part of a revival. But anyway, it said basketball 3-on-3 tournament open to the public, and so I called the number and spoke to one of the organizers, and he said, sure, if you don't have a team, just show up. Well, they're not all 16-year-old, but they are all male-looking. I see a girl. She must be someone's girlfriend. I hope I'm wrong. Well, I'll just sit here and put on my shoes.
Hi. You know if there's any straight people without a team that are looking for other teammates? You know if there's any people that don't have a team that are looking for teammates? Or is there someone to ask who's like... You from where?
London.
You drove the bus? All right.
I'm going to interrupt this recording for a minute and live and just say that I was kind of feeling really awkward. I didn't know anybody there, and I just happened upon this thing. There were probably 40 people, and most people already had teams, and I was just like, I just want to play.
Yeah, if there's anybody that is like, if you have those people who don't have a team or are looking for a team, if there's anybody like taking names, anything like that.
That dude right there in the gray shirt.
Okay. You looking for a teammate?
They're looking for me. Everybody keeps asking me to play. I got it.
All right, well, I'm available too.
There's about 40 people here for this 3-on-3 tournament. They said that everybody was on a team already, except for me and Billy Bob Hickman. How do I find Billy Bob Hickman?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
You gonna play?
Yeah, I wanna play.
Okay, that's what's up. Okay, we'll see what we can do.
We're here for one reason, that's to have fun and praise the Lord. I'm gonna pray before we go. So if everybody just bow your head, we're gonna pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come right now in the name of Jesus.
Hey man, we look around, we see a lot of people out here today that could have a major influence in this town that can help people. You got a voice and you can use it. Hey man, I know that you all probably, hey man, have still got your minds on other things of the basketball and this and that, but hey man, I feel like right now we can start getting our minds upon the Lord and basketball. Hey man, a little pickup game. Hey man, we're out here today because we care for you. We care for your situation. We care for your problem. We care for everything that you go through. Hey man, today, hey man, we look around and hey man, it seems like our people, hey man, we want to turn a deaf ear. We're worried that if we try to help somebody, that it'll get us in trouble. Amen, that somebody will try to take advantage of us. Amen, but I want to tell you to help on anyway. Help as much as you can. Help whoever you can, wherever you are. Amen, and I want to tell you today, amen, as you're out here, amen, I want you to tell you, amen, to take your mind, amen, and turn it away, amen, from looking on the things of people. Amen, quit looking on the faults of people. Quit looking on, amen, the failures of people. Amen, and look beyond all the things, amen, that makes people, amen, difficult to deal with. Amen, and start seeing the soul that lies inside that man.
Amen.
If we get to a point where we've seen the soul, we'd start putting labels on people.
That's right.
Amen. Too many times we see a man or a woman, amen, that's in trouble in some way, we'll be quick to say there's a druggie. There's a pothead. There's a druggie. There's a pill head, a meth head. Amen. There's this and there's that. Amen. Putting a label on them. Amen. That one that's maybe addicted to drugs, that man, amen, he's also somebody's son. He's also somebody's daddy. He may be somebody's uncle. He may be somebody's brother. Amen. And let me tell you today, amen, if you look beyond the faults of man, amen, and you see the soul of him, amen, there'll be Come on, Steve. Preach now. A soul that you can point in the right direction.
My name is Aaron Huff. I'm Administrator of Helps with Firstborn Ministries. We're mainly a street ministry, and what we do is we go out into neighborhoods where people are hopeless and crushed, drug addiction and things like that, and we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, just telling them about the love that Jesus had for us, the love that God had for us, giving his only begotten son so that we can have salvation. We run across a lot of people who have drug issues, and so what we like to do is we try to help people in all issues. If they're low on food or if they need help with their bills, different programs we're trying to get with different agencies that help with that stuff so that we can get them help. So we're not only, you know, coming into their lives, but we're also following up with them and trying to make sure that, you know, they're keeping their faith strong, because people deal with things and then they, you know, after they have salvation or they give their life to Christ, they start to feel like they're hypocritical because they go back into some of the things that they've been dealing with. But I tell them, you don't get good to get God. You get God to get good. So if God is in your life and Christ is working through you through the Holy Spirit, the next thing you know, things that you used to do, you don't want to do them anymore. It's the renewance of your mind. And also we try to help them with scripture, so we try to disciple them as well, so they can go out and witness to people as well. But mainly if someone is drug addicted, we like to get them into a drug rehab program. If they're active in their addiction, when we meet them, we'll get them to a detox facility. And once they come out the detox facility, then the pastor will discern whether or not, you know, they need to go further in a 12-step program, which initially leads you back to the one step, which is repentance and learning the love of God. And some people don't have to go to a drug treatment facility. Some people, they can go through our Breaking Free program, which what we do is we have a safe house at the church, and it holds two people. Right now, hopefully, God bless us, we can hold, you know, more. And we disciple them, we teach them the Bible, and we teach them how to get become normal, normality, get back to normality, because when you're out there in the world doing drugs, a lot of responsibilities and stuff, you lose those things like paying bills, cleaning your house, making sure that you have toiletry items, toothpaste, toothbrushes, toilet paper. Things like that. Also, things that, you know, they may not get involved with, like ironing your clothes. Simple things to most people that's common knowledge to them, to these people is foreign because they haven't been used to doing it, or they just haven't done it in so long. And also, we help them get jobs. And then once they phase up through the program, there's 7 phases. Once they reach phase 7, we get them out of the safe house. We get them into an apartment of their own. Then they have a job, we're their transportation for a little while, and then we'll try to help them get things like, you know, their GED, or maybe get, you know, go into college and stuff like that. So basically we're doing everything we can to get somebody all the way back, but it's through Christ that we're doing this. It's, you can't do it on your own. You know, people think all the time, well, I do this on my own, I do that on my own, but really and truthfully, it's God who has his hand on everybody. So these are the things that Firstborn Ministries is about.
Can you tell me how you got involved with it?
Yes. 3 years ago, I was a drug addict, and I went to a treatment facility for 6 months. Well, 3.5 years ago. I did my 6 months. I came out of the treatment facility, and God tugged on my heart, and he gave me something. He wanted me to keep it. And they say in the program, to keep it, you have to give it away. So immediately I wanted to give it away. So I tried to do like a comedy show / live music event. And it didn't work. It didn't work because it was from my mind and it wasn't led by Christ. And so when I got with the pastor, who is my cousin, I told him the things that was on my heart, and he said that God had led him to give me a platform for that. So that's how I got involved with what I'm doing with the ministry.
Oh.
So that's been an interview with Aaron Huff from Breaking Free Ministries in London, Kentucky, from an event in Middlesbrough, Kentucky that I went to a few weeks ago. My heart goes out to people from the black churches that have been burning in the South. When I was in Middlesbrough the last couple times this spring and last month, I went to the Mount Moriah Baptist Church, and they were, it's a black church in Middlesbrough, Kentucky, and they were really welcoming of me. And regardless of the causes of some of the fires that have been happening, it's just a really difficult time for these communities and these churches. This is the Mount Moriah Choir. So you've been listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio, WXOJ LP 103.3 FM, Northampton, and streaming online at valleyfreeradio.org. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. Dwayne Rainey's also here today.
Again, turn me off.
Oh! go ahead, Dwayne.
You just keep... I don't know.
Yeah,
I guess you don't want me breathing into the mic.
I keep the mics turned off unless you're saying something, and sometimes I forget if you're saying something or not.
I try, but nothing happens.
So I'm going to continue with the religious theme for a minute, and I have a short interview with one of my sisters, Deborah. She lives in an intentional community called the Bruderhof. She actually lives in Western Pennsylvania, but the Bruderhof has a handful of communities around the country, mostly in New York State and Pennsylvania, and then some in other countries like Paraguay. I'm not sure what other countries. They have a website that has some information about it.
Very interesting.
Yeah. When you join the Bruderhof, you take a lifetime vow. So this is Deborah.
Deborah, could you tell me a little bit about the Bruderhof community where you live?
I live in Spring Valley Community, which is one of the Bruderhof communities in southwestern Pennsylvania. We are a group of Christians living together out of love to Jesus and love to our brothers and sisters, love to all people. And the reason we live together is because we want to follow Jesus. And we feel that we've been called, each one of us as an individual has been called to do this through listening to God's Spirit and to reading what Jesus has said about how we have to love one another as we love ourselves. And living together, loving one another as we love ourselves, is the answer to the world's problems.
So how did you become part of the Bruderhof?
Well, when my husband and I married, we were seeking for how do we live out the words of Jesus and where is a church that we can live daily our Christianity and our desire to follow Jesus and not just one day a week. We also felt still feel very strongly that there has to be an answer to the world's problems. So we had tried to be activists. My husband had grown up being very much an activist, including being arrested, along with his father. But we felt like we did not have enough support. And we realized through the Bruderhof community, we live every day. We have meetings together every day. We work together, we play together, we worship together, and that is something we do every day. We help each other, and no one is rich and no one is poor, but we are all equal. And it makes absolutely no difference if you're the doctor or if you're the one who cleans the toilets. Every single person is treated exactly the same. And that, for us, is an answer to the world's problems.
That was an interview with
my sister, Juju Woodring.
My sister Juju lives in an intentional community, too, but that's in Heathcote, Maryland. I'm not sure if I have time for that interview with her. But I just did the one with my sister Deborah, talking about the Bruderhof.
And you also live in an intentional community.
Yes, you know, sort of, right. It's all about living with people and stuff. Well, I'm going to go from religion on to sports now. Sports, here. We'll start with the bike lab.
Bike lab.
I'm having computer difficulties today, Dwayne.
Yes. Well,
thanks for coming. Do you have another announcement?
Yes, I do.
Imagine that. Oh, your mic is on. I remember to turn your mic on. At least I did that.
The 29th Annual Green River Festival coming July 10th, 11th, and 12th at Greenfield Community College in Greenfield. Western Massachusetts' favorite summer festival has been expanded to 3 days, the 10th, 11th, and 12th. On the grounds of Greenfield Community College, I guess it used to be on the fairgrounds. Presented by Signature Sounds, the celebration combines a spectacular lineup of over 30 acts on three stages, a dance tent, a wide array of kid activities, and for Western Mass's largest outdoor event of the summer. Let's see. This is the only music festival in the country which features hot air balloons. Last year's event sold out in advance for the first time in the festival's history. So, it doesn't have a phone number, but it does have a website, greenriverfestival.com. So that's July 10th, 11th, and 12th.
Do people use websites anymore? It seems like everybody just does Facebook or something now.
I'm sure there's a Facebook page. If you go to Green River Festival, you could find it.
All right.
Why don't you try it? I found a boy today.
You want to learn to fix your bike? How to keep it tuned up so it's there for you when you need it? Or maybe you know already, but you just need to borrow a bike-specific tool that you don't have. Well, come to the Bike Lab.
Almost every Saturday since 2004, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., here in Northampton at 12 Northern Avenue.
Come with your bike or your questions.
And your willing attitude.
Spare parts scavenger hunt every weekend.
Venga para el Bike Lab de Northampton y se divertirá mucho, le enseñará muchas lecciones como arreglar bicicletas.
All repairs guaranteed to the end of the driveway.
Details are online at pedalpeople.coop. That's the Saturday Bike Lab at 12 Northern Avenue,
11 a.m. to 2 p.m.
They say freedom isn't free, but at the Bike Lab it is.
Ya súbase a la bici, compa. Trépese a la de montaña, la bici urbana, la bici cross. Lléguele a la bicicleta, ya de menos a la eléctrica o a la estática, ya no hay tos. Llegaré pedaleando en el viaje de allá para acá.
And in sports today, my housemates Alex and Mikey went tubing in the Mill River. Alex, can you tell us about it?
Well, it was a pretty wild ride. We put in near Look Park, above Look Park, and immediately we're going through some things that are just like, poosh, poosh, splashed you. It was Mikey's first time on the Mill River.
What'd you think, Mikey?
It was scary. I'm really scared of water and the force of the river, and but yeah, it was nice. It demystified things for me. I realize it's kind of like anything else, is that if you pay attention, you'll figure it out.
It's a pretty forgiving river. it's really not. Most of the time, you can just stand up, and you're okay. Mm-hmm. But I've never actually felt in danger, though. There, you can sometimes get a couple scrapes. Probably the more of the danger is that if you go during high water, that can sometimes be a time when there's elevated bacteria levels, so that's definitely a concern. And it's also, you know, you definitely could. I guess I've never been worried about flipping. It's more like scraping against rocks or maybe hitting, you know, scraping against a tree or something like that.
Mm-hmm. What kind of precautions should you take for elevated bacteria levels?
I don't know.
Don't drink the water.
Don't drink the water.
And maybe. Don't wash your open wounds.
Yeah.
So if people want to get involved in this activity, are there any things that can help them figure out what's a good time to go? How do you know it's a good time to go tubing?
Well, you can. The National Weather Service can tell you the river levels, and I've found that between 120 and 250 cubic feet per second is a good flow level for tubing. I think to reduce the bacteria levels, you want to do this. You want to do it when the river levels are falling, not rising. But that's just my guess. I'm not really sure.
What about temperature? Do you have any air temperature recommendations?
Yeah, I'd recommend you know, being above 75 degrees. I've made a little website that sends out alerts when those conditions are reached, and you can find, if you search for Mill River Tubing Forecast, you'll find it.
That's the sports report on tubing. Thanks, guys.
And also in sports, coming up is the Justice Cup. Have you dreamed of scoring the winning goal in the Premier League Championship? Does the thought of a roaring crowd excite you? Do you want to raise money for a great cause and have fun to boot? Well, good, because the Pioneer Valley Workers Center and Western Mass Jobs with Justice are holding a soccer tournament to celebrate the beautiful game and social justice. It's the second annual Justice Cup, Copa Justicia, and it'll take place on Sunday, July 19th, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Crozier Field in Holyoke. Whether you're a competitive player or you enjoy kicking around the ball with your friends, there's a way for you to participate. All skill levels are welcome. There's a competitive level, there's a just for fun level, there's a family level. You can sign up as a team or as an individual and get assigned to a team, or you can just come and eat delicious food from Salsa Dengue and Beets and Barley and just watch the tournament. There'll be food from local vendors, exciting prizes and activities for kids, music, and a social justice resource fair to learn all about the great organizations and businesses in the Valley. And the proceeds from the event will be used to support the critical organizing of the Pioneer Valley Worker Center and the campaigns of Western Mass Jobs with Justice and its 70-plus coalition members. Yeah, last year there were over 100 people that participated. There were 20 teams. I wanted to play, but I couldn't quite make it. But some of my coworkers and friends played, and they said it was really, a really good time. Anyway, that's coming up on Sunday, July 19th. And, oh, another sports announcement. Every Friday around 5:30 or 6, I think they'd say 5:30, but an ultimate time, it's really 6. Out in Haydenville, there's Pick Up Ultimate. It's a family-friendly game. It's at off of Fairfield Avenue, the little softball, soccer, whether the park out there in Haydenville off of Route 9. I've been playing there, and it's the highlight of my week these days.
Thanks.
Any other sports announcements, Dwayne?
I already sent my wad with the bike thing.
Okay, yeah, okay, great.
You didn't tell me, I would have said. But we got Friday, July 31st, Trampled by Turtles. That's kind of sporty,
isn't
it?
What is that?
It's performed at the Academy of Music. Showtime, this is Trampled by Turtles, formed in 2003 in Duluth, Minnesota. From the beginnings of the Midwestern Festival Circuit, they have reached new heights with each new album. With special guest, Spirit Family Reunion. So if you want to get trampled by turtles, July 31st at the Academy of Music.
Okay.
Sounds pretty painless, actually. Slow, painful.
What do you get from nervous cows?
I don't know.
Milk sheds. Are cows such bad dancers? Because they have two left feet.
That was some people practicing reading at the Henderson Settlement Library in Franks, Kentucky. The last thing I have today, I also played last week, my nephew Johannan and my niece Milka from Kentucky, from southeastern Kentucky, are talking about discovering berries in a park in London, England during a plane layover.
So, Johannan, can you tell me the story of how you discovered these berries in London?
Yeah. It was so... I went mad over this. My brain just getting clogged up about why aren't people eating these. Mm. So we were in London for only, I think, 3 days, coming back from Zimbabwe. Two. Anyway, and there we were. We went to parks, and when we went to the first one, we were walking by, and my mom bought some English bread, I think, and some milk, maybe, and some juice. And we went to the park, and we were eating some. And I really need to use the bathroom, so there's these huge bunches of bushes here, just, I think, plenty in the park. So I went inside of one. Mm-hmm. I was completely covered, so nobody saw me. Believe me, I don't think anybody knew where I was. Mm-hmm. And then I saw some berries on the ground. I was like, what are those? There were dead berries there, and so I finished, and I went out, and I saw some more dead berries on the other bushes. And I found some spiky things, and I was like, what are those? And then I saw this blackberry, and I said, blackberry? Here? I don't think there should be blackberries here. And so I grabbed one.
Because it was a bush, and it wasn't a briar, right? Blackberries weren't briars.
Yeah, and then I realized there were some briars there, and I said, oh, well, it might be blackberries. And I ate it, and I said, this isn't blackberries. It's a little bit sour sweet, and not sweet like blackberries. This is different. And I ate another one. And then another one. I said, Yuka, get here. Sensed it. And well, she came rolling her eyes saying, oh, this is something.
Wait. What'd you say, Yuka?
And so I was like, oh, well, probably just a little normal thing, not really important. And so I was rolling my eyes and being like my bored face. And so Milka came here rolling her eyes and everything. And I said, Milka, eat that berry, please. And she said, go ahead. And I said, eat that berry. And so she picked the berry and she tossed it in her mouth and then she ran off.
What'd you think, Milka?
It was, like, delicious. It was, like, really good because I was, like, in all these places and I'm not eating any. I didn't eat a single berry, I think. And then finally taste a berry.
Mm-hmm. And you'd been, like, to Africa and back and hadn't had a fresh berry?
Yeah, like...
Or briar?
Yeah, it was like a month. Yeah, pretty much both of us, not all of us on the trip hadn't had a berry at all. Fresh or non-fresh, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Milka went and grew up mommy, and mommy came... And we had some berries, and we gave her some. She looked a bit confused. And she ate it, and then she said, "These are awesome! This is awesome! This is amazing!" And so we started eating them, and then I started going crazy about why aren't these people eating them? There's so many, and they're dying on the ground. They eat these things. They're delicious.
What were people doing instead?
Instead, they were going strolling around like they were bored, getting on the big double-decker buses and looking at their iPads, doing twit, twit, twitty, twit, beep. Hello. They were like, they looked like there are those normal berries. You know, they even buy them, they're even for $50 at the store. Why bother to go pick some right here? They probably have this poison on them. They just walk away.
Mm.
Probably all they're saying is, "Hi, buddy, why don't we go and on our iPhone 6s and buy some? They're probably half rotted from the store for $102." Instead of getting them fresh off the bush for quite free, then they're all good. Instead, it's easier just to do this beep, 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 twit, beep, beep, beep. Yeah, I want some berries.
So did you find out what kind of berries they were?
No, we didn't know. And I forgot what the berry was, but I had heard and read a little bit about some kind of berry. I don't know. I think it was maybe like sweet berry or some kind of berry. A color or some kind of taste, but I forgot what it was.
These are purple?
No, these are black.
They were black, okay.
Right. And they looked like blackberries. And they were delicious. We started eating our sandwiches, sticking some of the berries in them, and after that, we just started gobbling them up. Grabbing handfuls and just going, boop, boop, and shoving the whole thing in your mouth.
Did they stain your hands purple?
Yeah, like they stained them purple.
Yeah.
That was an interview with my niece and nephew, Milka and Johanan Woodring from Bell County, Kentucky. I rode by the most amazing mulberry tree I've ever seen yesterday in West Springfield. Yeah, it was near the 1100 block of Elm Street in West Springfield, if anyone's going down that way. I paced it out. It was 25 yards in diameter, and it was loaded with white mulberries. You could have taken a bike trailer down there and loaded tubs up with them. And there were all these raspberries underneath, too. Now's the time for cherries as well. So you've been listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio, WXOJ, LP, 103.3 FM, Northampton. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! Up at 5 o'clock. One more announcement I want to make is about the SURGE meeting. SURGE stands for Showing Up for Racial Justice. There was an event at Edwards Church last night that a bunch of us went to. It's a organization that tries to unite white people to show up for racial justice. It's a national organization with a local chapter, but there's going to be a meeting on Monday, July 6th at 6:30 at the UU Society in downtown Northampton. That's 220 Main Street, to prepare for a door knocking campaign to go door to door and have conversations with neighbors and to try and get people to put up Black Lives Matter yard signs. This is our final song. This is from Mount Moriah Baptist Church in Middlesbrough, Kentucky, again.
There is a leak in this old building, and my soul has got to move. Dimmer, yeah. My soul has got.